every thought, every emotion begins with a thought. So a thought creates an emotion. Emotion creates an action. It's to keep us alive. You see a lion, the thought is, he's going to eat me. But guess what? Fear and anger are the two things that have kept us alive for 6 million years. We don't need anymore. There's no lions chasing us. So
welcome to Wealth Embodied. Together, along with some amazing guests, we'll explore and tap into our innate abundance and have meaningful conversations about developing our ability to embody the vibration of wealth while also uncovering new ways to think, feel, and cultivate our relationship with money so we can live our lives wealthy and aligned. Let's welcome our host, Alara Sage.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of Wealth Embodied, where we activate and inspire you in your wealth consciousness, your creative genius, and your visionary impact. I'm your host, Alara Sage. And a topic that I am very passionate about and I feel needs to keep be brought up, being discussed, spoken about, is how trauma in our personal life, in our childhood, or in our adult life, can affect our businesses, can affect our decision-making, and oftentimes is not even fully recognized. I know that I had this experience where trauma within me was really the underlying energy behind some decisions that fundamentally destroyed my business. And we have another similar conversation, very profound conversation with our special guest today, Brad Chandler, who is a successful entrepreneur who built a thriving real estate investment company that has flipped over 4,500 houses. Well, now with that company running independently of him, Brad is dedicating his life to his true passion, which is really helping others break free from their past, this trauma that we're speaking to today, overcoming their limiting beliefs and creating the life and the relationships that they desire and they deserve. Brad, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Excited.
And I wanted to read off something that you had in your profile that really hit me and really made me say, yes, 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 I want to hear this man speak. I want to hear his story. And that was really that you had this internal struggle that cost you 2 marriages, $9 million. $9 million in business mistakes, and you were reliant on alcohol and marijuana as an escape. Those are profound realizations. Can you tell us a little bit of how all of that transpired from that past trauma?
Yeah, and I'm going to clarify, like, I try not to use trauma because it scares people away. I'd say out of the 100 clients that I've helped profoundly change their lives, if I asked them, there'd probably only be about 5 or 6 who said, oh, I had trauma in my childhood. Trauma can be as little as your little sister coming home from the hospital from being born and your parents paying a bunch of attention to her. And your little 6-year-old or 2-year-old self said, mommy and daddy must not love me. They love her more. So don't get confused with the word trauma. You don't have to have been locked in a cage or sexually molested. It's anything that you made a story about in your childhood that's affecting you. So to answer your question, Alara, about 3.5 years ago, trying to get my son help for anxiety, I was on a Zoom call with a performance coach and she said, you have a tic. And I'm like, what are you talking about? She's like, you blink like crazy when you talk about your childhood. You may have some unresolved childhood trauma that's affecting your son's anxiety. And I'm like, me? No way. I've been a single dad for years. I'm an amazing dad. Okay, but if you think so, I'll try. I'll do whatever you say. And I was at the point where I would try anything. And so I flew to Park City. She invited me out to work with her ex-Navy SEAL husband and herself. And in this 3-hour session, Alara, my life forever changed in such a profound way. And how did it happen? We simply, it's not complex stuff here. We all suffer from the same thing. It's these meanings and these stories that we tell ourselves in our childhood to get us through these stressful times. And that's exactly what our brain should be doing at 6 years old. Daddy's hitting me with a belt in my case, and daddy's making fun of me, and my parents are always fighting about money because there's something wrong with me. If it's my parents' fault, I'm completely helpless. I am screwed. But if it's my fault, I can control it, right? I can be a better boy, and then dad will stop making fun of me and stop spanking me, and parents will stop fighting about money. So that's what we did in that 3-hour session. After going to 3 decades of therapy and 50 different marriage counseling sessions, it was that 3-hour session where everything changed. We just reversed the stories, and through neuroplasticity, we told myself a new story, and then I was free. I was free to be my authentic self, and that's when my life changed in a profound way.
So delicious. I love two things you said. First, bringing up the conversation about trauma, and I think we don't need to hide from that word, but we do need to rephrase it and re-identify and understand that, yeah, it doesn't mean radical trauma. It can be very simplistic things that actually, from an adult point of view, doesn't seem traumatic, you know, that a child went through. We're like, oh, that just happened. That was pretty little. But again, from your little version of you in that moment, you created stories around and it became a trauma in your body. It's so important to re-identify, redefine is what I mean. Redefine that word, make it more available to all of us. And the second thing you said was, no, but I'm a great father, right? Because, which is so impactful, because it's important to understand that we've all experienced these moments of emotional pain and created, as you said, these stories and these belief structures about ourselves around that pain. That doesn't make us a bad person. That doesn't make us a bad father, a bad mother, a bad parent, a bad entrepreneur, any of this. It just means that we need to address it and that we are, to some degree, bringing that into our physical reality. And that first little thing of just recognizing doesn't make us a bad person is important, because we have to be able to accept that about ourselves. Was it hard for you to accept that you were bringing this energy in and, you know, having this effect on your son?
It wasn't. And I tell you what the turning point was. A couple of weeks after that, I continued. I took my son to another program. And at that program, the lady was like, well, you're a shitty father, or you're a pothead or something. She goes, and I was like, just crushed, right? And then she followed that up with, but what else could you expect coming from the father that you came from? So everything that we talk about today, you're not going to hear either of us say like it's your fault. This is not your fault. It wasn't my fault. So it wasn't hard. How can you, so children only misbehave, I believe, and I got this from Dr. Gabor Mate. He says children only misbehave for one reason, one reason only. They lack connection with a parent. If you lack connection with yourself, which I did, even though I was a good parent and I didn't hit my kids, make fun of them, my lack of self-worth, which was created from the stories that I told myself from childhood, my lack of self-worth created pressure on my kids. My lack of self-worth created disconnection with myself. If I'm not connected with myself, how in the world can my kids be? They weren't. And that's why they both had behavioral issues and anxiety. Again, was I a bad father? No. If your kids have behavioral problems and you want to get to the core of it, just grab your spouse, go into the bathroom, look in the mirror. You're likely the cause of it. It's not your fault, but you're likely the cause of it. So if you want to help your child, what you do is you learn to reconnect with yourself, learn how to find the self-love inside yourself, and then everything in your world will change.
Absolutely. And so how did this come into your business?
Which part?
How did it affect your business, this lack of self-worth?
Oh my goodness. From 2005 to 2017, I made 5 business mistakes that cost myself and my partner $9 million. And when I look back after going through this transformation, I could pin every single one of those mistakes to this: I'm not worthy, but if I can make a bunch of money, people are going to think I'm worthy and people will love me, because that's how my dad showed me love. He didn't know how to love himself. He thought life was all about money. So I thought life was all about money. So from 9th grade, reading a book on how to buy real estate with no money down, I knew I wanted to get into real estate because you can make a ton of money. I didn't know why I was so motivated by real estate, but that was it. It was all about if I can make a bunch of money. And that's what a lot of entrepreneurs think. They start a business thinking, when I get to be worth $5 or $10 million or make $1 million a year, everything's going to be great. And I'm here to tell you that's complete BS. We can show you how to get to the state that you think that's going to bring today. And when you get to that state today, which is inner peace and inner self-love, then the chances of you making that money go up astronomically. Because you're not going to be chasing money for the sake of making yourself feel better. Hopefully you'll be making an impact. And then when you strive to make an impact in other people's lives, the money always comes.
Super important, because money doesn't solve issue. Money doesn't solve problem. And in fact, it will actually amplify it. If you feel low self-worth and you bring in more money, it's not going to create a feeling of worthiness. It's going to amplify that lack of self-worth and create that inner anxiety, right? That feeling of like, oh my gosh, if I lose this, now that I have this money, now that I have this success, if I lose it, I will be seen as not worthy, right? It comes back again. And then wonderfully what you put is also, it also doesn't create that fulfillment, right? But when we connect to that self-love that you're speaking to and that self-worth first, then what we create is that self-fulfillment, because it's already rooted in that self-love first and foremost. It's such a delicious conversation because, again, I don't see often self-love and entrepreneurship, those two words coming together.
Well, look, when you for 47 years, if we'd had this podcast 5 years ago, we wouldn't have. But let's just say we were on the podcast and you're like, Brad, do you love yourself? I'd have been like, of course, Alara. Do you care what other people think? I'd have been like, no. Do you have high self-esteem and confidence? Yeah, I'm very confident. All of that was a lie. So if we're going to go and start talking about self-love and I have low self-esteem, I'm going to be terrified because I'm going to be like, ooh, I don't want to go there, because my subconscious mind doesn't want me to go there because it's protected me. It's kept me alive for 47 years. So it's addicted to this feeling. And it was only through the reprogramming of the subconscious mind that my entire world changed. And that's what everyone's problem that is listening today is a thinking problem. And that thinking problem is created from beliefs and stories that were told as a child. And most of them are stuck in the subconscious mind. I didn't wake up every day and say, I'm no good and I'm a piece of shit. But my subconscious mind was telling me that, driving my behavior.
I really love what you said, because I had the same thing with the, do you love yourself? Are you confident? Before I was aware of all of this, I really had a fantastic facade of confidence.
Me too.
Nobody in my life had any idea of the deep lack of self-worth that I felt because of the air that I portrayed and put out there. And just as you said, it was a defense mechanism. I was so scared deep within, subconsciously, again, not consciously, of being exposed in my, you know, belief of unworthiness, that I would do whatever it took to continue to bring that facade forward, which is really quite exhausting.
Yeah. Wearing a mask is not being your authentic self is, it creates a lot of stress. It just piles on. It's just like this virtuous cycle that's no good.
So when you're working with clients, and we're really speaking here primarily about entrepreneurship, even though, of course, this affects everything in your life, you know, as we mentioned earlier, it can affect your relationship to your children, you know, your intimate relationships, all relationship. That's the only thing that exists really is relationship. But when we speak to entrepreneurs, when you're helping entrepreneurs through these, what are you really seeing the evolution of how this deep inner work, resolving this lack of self-love, this lack of self-worth in themselves, transforms in their business?
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm going to make a point about that and then come back to your question. So many people come to us with things around business or anxiety or depression, racing mind, working too much. And so much of it leads back to relationships, as you were saying earlier. So the people that are sticking with the program and having the most success are like, wow, it was really all about the relationship. So, I mean, there's so many stories, but one that's was a review we just put out like last week on social media. I reconnected with a client. I had talked to him a couple of months and he wasn't doing the work. And so he reached out to me when I was on vacation over Christmas in Stowe, Vermont. And I had this like 10-minute conversation with him. I said, dude, do these three things, right, ever? And then we scheduled a call because I didn't have time then. And 2 weeks later, he's like, Brad, there's not much to talk about because I did what you said. And I'm like right back to being in this amazing place. I go, well, tell me about it. What's the amazing place like? And he started to tell me about how he's not drinking and he's not using drugs and his relationship with his girlfriend is better. His relationship with God is better. He's studying the Bible again. His relationship with his parents has never been better. He goes, Brad, do you know that the last quarter of 2024, I made more money that I've made my entire life? And he's like, it's not like I didn't make money before, I'd made millions. And I said, David, and the only reason I'm saying this is because he's publicly put this out there. He's like, I was like, how much of the coaching, how much did the coaching affect that? He was like, a ton. I would not have done that without your coaching. Cause he was like, I was a mess trying to work 100 hours and going hard and drinking and not taking care of myself. And that all changed.
And so what was the problem that he came to you with?
Just kind of out of control. Racing mind, anxiety, out of control. Had issues with his partner. He said had it not been for the coaching, he would have separated from his partner, and him and his partner have been integral, obviously, in, you know, making as much money as they did.
Wow. So again, I just really love sharing this stuff with the audience, right? The transformation of out of control, anxiety, like borderline about to lose important relationships, and drinking alcohol, right? Kind of like finding these other ways of numbing, and shifted into an improved, not even just like letting that relationship go and starting over again, like improved relationship, best relationship with these very important people in their life. And then also this magnificent year in business, profound transformation indeed. Is there something that you find where people really struggle with this process?
You know, a lot of people have been shy or delayed the program because I talk a lot about this comes from your parents. And this is a multi-generational curse that we just keep passing down. And I say a lot, the greatest gift that you can give your child is to break this multi-generational curse. And how do you do that? You teach your child how to love themselves unconditionally. How in the world can you teach your child to do it? How could I have done it when I didn't? I didn't feel it myself. So that's one of the challenges, is just that I think people think that I'm going to, like, because I say it's the parents' fault, like I'm going to trash their parents, and it's just the opposite. It's I'm going to show you that your parents did the absolute best that they could do, just like I did the best, just like you did the best. And you'll actually have a better relationship with your parents after. So that's one struggle. Another struggle is this is a lifelong journey. My transformation happened in 3 hours, but it wasn't over then. I keep working at it every day. I remember the gentleman who took me through the program the night before the program. He said, I want to be in a place where no person can negatively affect me. And I thought, this guy is a fool. Like, what is he talking about? And here we are 3.5 years later, and I'm not there. I'll never get there. But am I so much closer? Like, I used to be angry a lot, ticked off a lot, triggered a lot. I am hardly ever angry. And if I do, it stays for seconds, because I've got this program called the Joy Regenerator, where it's just a process. Every emotion begins with a thought. So a thought creates an emotion. Emotion creates an action. It's to keep us alive. You see a lion, the thought is, he's going to eat me. You get scared. Your brain pumps blood to your legs so you can run. But guess what? Fear and anger are the two things that have kept us alive for 6 million years. We don't need anymore. There's no lions chasing us. So, but yet fear and anger dominate our relationships, our health, our businesses, and everything. So I think that would be another thing. It's just, I spoke so long, I forgot where I was going with this. Just knowing that it's a journey. It's a journey. And in 3 hours, we can make profound changes, right? But if you don't keep up with it, just like if you lost 60 pounds and you started eating donuts and sitting on the couch, it's going to go away. You've got to keep working at it. But here's the thing. The more you work at it, the better and better and better and better it gets.
It's such an important comment, what you just said, the better and the better and the better it gets, because it does. There truly is no ceiling. This has been my experience. My partner and I say this all the time to each other. We're like, we think we've reached this. Oh, we're so much in love with ourselves, with each other, with life. And then there's more. And then there's more. And it's just incredible, because you really feel fulfilled. You feel like this is plenty. This is overflowing. And then there's more. And I love that you speak to it being a journey, because I think in our society, you know, the quick fix is such an addiction. And as you mentioned, yeah, in your process and with how you work with clients, you can do a lot in a one session. You can already transform so much. But it's the journey that actually makes it fun. It's not meant to be just one thing. We would be so bored if we didn't have this opportunity to continuously evolve ourselves, become better people, do things better, do things more effectively, do things more efficiently, do things more from our heart in this profound, aligned way. So it's very important to understand that a lot can happen in a short amount of time with what you're bringing forth and what you're bringing to the audience and your methodologies. And then also that beautiful awareness that, yes, it is a continued journey. What would you recommend for people who are listening to this and, you know, they're recognizing, right, that they didn't have necessarily, you know, connection with their parents, self-love, self-worth all through their childhood, the vast majority of people, and they really want to take those first steps. What are those first steps that you recommend?
Yeah, so I created a quiz for the old Brad, the one that would have said, oh, I love myself, because had I had this quiz, I would have seen, oh my gosh, I really have some issues. It's just a self-love quiz. It's 12 questions. It takes about 3 minutes. That's on our website at unlocklimitlessyou.com. I'd start there. So all change begins with awareness. So we want to see, where are you at? Do you have lack of self-love? Do you have mild self-love? Do you have extreme self-love? If you've got the lower two, I promise you, every area of your life is negatively affected. The second thing is to realize that whatever you're struggling with, whatever negative behavior you have, it's not your fault. And here's why. Every single negative behavior, and we could literally spend an hour talking about, but I'll just highlight five. Drinking too much, eating too much, shutting down with your spouse, anxiety, depression, racing mind, workaholism. All of those are actually your brain's solution to a problem it thinks is even worse over here. So what is our subconscious mind supposed to do? It's supposed to take us from pain to pleasure. So even though the drinking six beers at night is bad, your brain is like, it's okay because it's better than this thing over here. When we do the work, Alara, we find out that this thing over here that your brain thinks is worse is that untruth that was formed during childhood. So what we do is we use the science of neuroplasticity to show your brain when in your life this was not true. So now your brain can't hold an untruth and a truth at the same time. A mismatch detector goes off. So the truth literally rewrites the neural pathway holding the negative belief or the thought that's driving this negative behavior. Guess what happens to the negative behavior? It vanishes because now it's got nothing to fuel it. Your anxiety, your fear to get on stage, when you don't like that, your brain is like, but if you get on stage and you mess up and someone makes fun of you like my dad did, then you might get kicked out of the tribe. And we've been around for 6 million years. We've only not lived in tribes like, you know, a small fraction. You get kicked out of the tribe, you're dead. So when you walk up on that, when you're getting close to that stage and your heart starts racing and you start feeling blush, your body's protecting yourself from ultimately thinking, oh my God, if I do this, I could die. So realize that it's not your fault. And that's how you begin the journey, is just to figure out where you are and then to know, okay, we've got to go do a deep dive and figure out what is the stories and meanings that are causing the negative behavior.
Yes, beautiful. Self-awareness is definitely the first step. And we'll have that link to the quiz here. Do you know any of the questions off the top of your head?
Of course. One of the questions is, do you have problems with deeply connected intimate relationships? If you have a repeated, oh my God, I get in these bad relationships over and over and over again, because if you lack self-love, you're always going to match, almost always going to match with someone lack self-love. Do you have self-destructive behavior? Do you get, can you not take criticism? Do you often get irritated with small things that others wouldn't? Self-destructive behavior. Do you need stuff to cope with emotions like drinks or porn or shopping or something like that?
Yeah, definitely. I love that because I'm thinking back to the old version of me too. And I definitely would have said yes to the lack of being able to take criticism.
Me too.
I remember I wouldn't necessarily react to it. I would just kind of, I don't remember how I reacted, but I wouldn't deny it to the person. I would pretend to receive it. But oh my God, I would just then go into these mental places where I was just beating myself up and beating myself up with that criticism. And I would never tell anybody about it. Never.
That's interesting. I did the opposite. I would fight when my spouses would come to me and be like, well, you just did this. I'd be like, well, you did this, 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 and this. And then I would retreat and I'd flight. And for 3 or 4 days, I had this massive anxiety in my chest and I didn't want anything to do with them. And now it's so different when my life partner comes and says, you know, this upset me. I'm like, okay, let's talk about it. I didn't mean to upset you, because now we don't have two unworthy people fighting for their worth. It's a beautiful thing.
It really is.
Now conflict actually brings us closer together. The problem in relationships, we have a 50% first divorce rate, and the third marriage divorce rate's like 72%. It's never about the actual relationship. It's the relationship each individual has with themselves. So if your marriage sucks and you're like, I got to go to marriage counselor, I got to get my spouse to go to marriage counseling. No, you don't. One of my most, I don't know, proud moments as a serving a client was when he wrote me a text that said, thank you for changing my life and my family's life. He was about to get divorced like 18 months ago. I never met with his wife. I never had a marriage counseling session, but he changed the relationship he had with himself. And then she was able to change. And now their marriage is flourishing.
So beautiful. We're coming to the end here, but you're wearing a shirt that says you deserve it. And I remember saying that out in your intro. What does you deserve?
So Mark Mincola, another guest I had on my podcast, I have a podcast called How to Be Happy for Entrepreneurs. He says, take a six-year-old picture if you lack self-love, put it on your desk. And every time you look at that little child, think innocent and deserving. So you deserve it. It is whatever you want. You deserve to be happy, deeply connected. And if you're not, it's not your fault. It's just these stories that you tell yourself. And it helped you at a time in your life. It really helped you. But now it's probably hurting or destroying your life.
So beautiful. I love the shirt. And I love the image of saying that to yourself, your little version of you.
I've got like six or seven of these. I've got Love Yourself. I've got Be Your Own Best Friend. I stole this one from Jenny Craig. It says, the only diet that works is self-love.
Did you make those shirts?
I made them, yeah.
Awesome. I love it. So how can people find you? We'll have the link to the quiz below. Anything else on social media? Anywhere else that you want to call attention to?
Yeah, we're all over social media. If you go to unlocklimitlessyou.com/Brad, it has everything. It has the quiz. It has the podcast. It has all my social media links, the website. Everything can be found there.
Perfect. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. But more deeply, I just want to say thank you for your own process, your transformation, the courage it took you to recognize your trauma and how it was affecting the people in your life and yourself, and for taking the steps to transform yourself. It's people like you that hold the light for others and really change the world. So thank you very much, Brad, for who you are.
Thank you so much.
And to the audience, thank you. Thank you. As always, I deeply appreciate you. And again, you know, this is stuff that the more we talk about, the more it becomes known. And we all get to recognize it, and we all get to become better people. And it's a ripple effect. And we get to change the world through that self-awareness. So share this episode. Go take that quiz. I have no doubt it'll be very eye-opening. And start that journey if you haven't already. As always, much love. Until next time.
Thank you for being a part of Wealth Embodied. As you experience each new day, we want you to feel that you are capable of tapping into your innate abundance and living your life wealthy and aligned. If you want to be invited to the next episode, just subscribe to our podcast. And if you need more information in the meantime, go to alarasage.com